I was 14 before I could tie a shoe. Learned to tie them one-handed. I would always get my shoes on, get them laced up, and get them right ready to tie. And then I would sit down and let somebody tie them for me, either mother or daddy or my sister when she was home before she got married. Well, we're getting ready to go somewhere one evening, and I got my bath and got my shoes on, got them laced up, right ready to tie. And I saw there's one place I couldn't figure it out. I saw what Mother did that night, and I untied them and tied it back and been tying the shoes ever since. But since then, the Lord, I want to be used of God. Young people, it's all right to be want to be used of God. But it's another thing to stay usable. One reason I knew God would be here tonight is I brought him with me. He may not be around, preacher, when I leave tonight because I plan on taking him with me. But something God has allowed me to do are gospel illustrations with balloons. Since I got the mic on, I'll do it down, hold it down here. I am from the small town of Resaca, Georgia. How many of you know where Resaca, Georgia is? It's about 50 miles from Chattanooga on Interstate 75. And we have a big camp meeting there. And all day preaching and singing. We have dormitories for, we have a preacher's dorm for the preachers to stay in, young preachers and older alike. Then we've got a regular boys and men dorm, and then we got a ladies' dorm, and a ladies with babies. And I enjoy camp meeting. But this is the reason I'm on the road. Because of what Christ did for me on Calvary. Because of what he did for me on Calvary, what I've been spending the last 22 years doing is carrying the sword, which is the word of God, to a lost and dying world. Now, a lot of the history books today have Resaca in it because it's the Battle of Resaca. It's a Confederate graveyard. You blink, you would go through it, through Resaca. But how it got its name, preacher, it used to be a perfect town. Years and years ago, it used to be a perfect town. It used to be an all man's town. I mean perfect. They got married, they had to send off for a mail order bride. And when a trainload of women come in, they put sacks on their head and put numbers on it. And you picked a number, it wasn't the woman you wanted. You said, resack her. Gotta be true, a preacher told it to me. I have in my hand this box that was built for me. It's got a padlock on it, and it's got a slit in the top here, and it's going to be sitting here on the front. I want to ask you, are you burdened for anybody particular? I believe every born-again Christian, if they're right with God, ought to have a burden for at least one person, at least one person at a time. If you're not burdened, I want you to ask the Lord to burden your heart tonight. I've got cards here. It's bear ye one another's burdens, Galatians 6, 2a. I want you to take a card and fill it out. It's the person to visit, their address, the relationship to you, the reason for the visit, your name, your phone number, and your church name. Fill it out, drop it in that box, and wherever I stay tonight, I'll take that box in and open it up, take out what's in it, and then I will pray, help you pray for that situation. And then after praying a while, as God gives me the leadership to do so, I will make a trip to that town and I personally will go visit that person. That's the reason I'm up this way. I was in Florida a while back and this lady filled out a couple cards and dropped in the box. One of them's her granddaddy, 86 years old, lost. If he died today, he'd go to hell. There's a friend of hers, her husband has stage 4 cancer. He died the other week, lost without God. But I went by and witnessed to her, sit on her front porch. I went by, told her who I was. I said, ma'am, you don't know me. I said, but I'm a friend, and called the lady's name. This woman broke down. I said, I'm sorry about your husband. Is there anything I can do? And she came out on the porch. She said, yes, I would like to sit down and talk. And I was able, after being in prayer for a while, going and sitting down. As far as I know, she's lost. She says she's ready to meet God, but I don't know. She got up, we got up, she got a 13-year-old daughter. This man that died, she knew him as daddy since she was 2. But that man died on that girl's birthday. This lady, we got up to leave. The girl had a friend there, and I made both of them a balloon sitting at the car. And when we got up to leave, I would go off the porch. She read, of course, she had blue jeans on. She reached in her back pocket and said, I want you to have this. I said, no, ma'am. You've been out of work for a while. You need, she said, we're fine. We're fine. Please take it. So I took that piece of money, stuck it in my pocket. Got to the gas station, stopped to get some gas. I knew what I had in my pocket, and I thought it may have been a $20 bill, but she gave me $50. That got me a place to stay the other night. I promised the Lord, as long as He kept gas in my vehicle, kept my bills paid, I'd stay on the road. I just trust Him. He put me out here. He'll take me off the road. I hope and pray that I'm still on the road when Jesus comes. I would love to be able to pull a card out of that box that you put in there. And I would love to be able to be telling them about Jesus when He comes again. No doubt every one of you got loved ones that are lost. I've got loved ones that are lost that think I'm crazy living out of my car on the road like I am, never knowing where the gas money's coming from, never knowing where my food's coming from. If I got gas to get down the road, I'm headed that away. God can take me further on empty than he can on a full tank of gas, if he's in it. I don't test him, but I do head down the road. I have ran out. But you know what? God let our vehicle, I believe, if I remember right, we ran out of gas in Virginia. Guess who stopped and picked me up? It was the owner of the Budweiser. Guess what I did? I told him about Jesus. Amen. And left him with the gospel tract. Amen. Praying that he gets in. Yeah. You never know. Never know. Right. You got to be willing to go. And my prayer is I can reach your loved ones somewhere. Or God will send somebody to your loved ones that they will come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. While you're going over here and trying to reach somebody else for Jesus. My personal testimony scripture. Psalms chapter number 40. Starting with verse 1, the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Now, if the pastor only gave me time to say four words, these next four words are my testimony in a nutshell. The Bible says there, many shall see it. Many shall see it. And fear and trust in the Lord. I want to ask you an important question tonight. Young men, young women, older folks alike. If you knew that you only had 24 hours to live, what would you do? What would you be today if you only had 24 hours to live? Well, just to suppose, starting this right here, you're in the middle of the 24 hours. How would you live the rest of your life? If you only had... If you was in the middle, somewhere between the 24 hours right now, who would you tell about Jesus? What would you be thinking right now if this was the last 24 hours? My prayer when I go to bed tonight, my prayer when I get up in the morning is, Lord, don't let people see me. I'm nothing to look at. No amens right there. But I'm nothing to look at. But I want to have enough God about me that somebody will come and ask me, what is different about you? Young lady, young men, you may be feeling tonight like you can't do anything. You're so far down in the pit, you can't climb out. But did you know that he knows where you are? He's just waiting on you, young lady, to call to him. He's already under your feet. he's already down there. And he just wants you to call on him. So he just keeps going on down, down, down. To call on him. And then he'll pick you up out of that horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. He'll wash you up. He'll make you new. I used to work at the mall, and I never heard this phrase before. I worked at a cart in the middle of the mall, and everybody there in the mall that worked in the mall knew me as the preacher. And the boss man and boss lady were gone this week and asked me to take the money home. They had teenagers working there, but I would go in and work. And I had to open up in the morning, and it took me an hour to open up. We had to hang shower curtains around. Well, I had to take those things down and fold them one-handed. It took me a whole hour to get open. Well, this one day, I just took a few hours off. And I came in to check, make sure I didn't need to go to the bank, get change or whatever. And everybody that passed me, has Jeff seen you? Has Jeff seen you? Has Jeff seen you? And I got my curiosity up. So I went, he was the mall manager. So I went to the office, the mall office. He was on the phone. He smiled at me, motioned for me to come in and have a seat. Well, I sit down. He got off the phone. He said, I appreciate you coming in. The reason I wanted to see you is we're having a mall merchant's breakfast in the morning. Want you to be there. I said, well, I've got to open up in the morning. It takes me a while one-handed to open up. He said, the whole mall's got to open up on time. You'll have plenty of time. I want you to come and represent your store. I said, okay. I'll be there. He said, great. The reason I wanted you to come, oh, this blessed my heart, preacher. He said, the reason I wanted you to come is that we here at the mall look at you as the mall chaplain. I like to fell out. He said, I want you to pray over breakfast in the morning.
Amen.
I said, Lord, what will I pray? Now lay me down to sleep. No. God is good. No. I prayed during the night. Asked God to use me at breakfast. And I made sure I was right in the center of the building where everybody around me, because I didn't have a mic. But everybody around me could hear. Amen. All I did, I prayed my testimony. Lord, I'm thankful for the day that you picked me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I prayed a while. Then I prayed, Lord, I thank you that you set me up. You set my feet up on a rock and established my going. Lord, I'm thankful for the new song that you placed within my mouth. Now, Lord, I pray, oh, Lord, 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 I pray that many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I can't tell you how many hundreds of people came by me that day and said, I can tell that prayer was real. You didn't have that written down. That came from the heart. I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I didn't have time to go to Walmart Baptist today and get me a drill. I wanted to do some surgery tonight. I love carrying stuff in my pocket as a witness tool. And I want to do some imaginary surgery tonight. I got in my hand what you call a peephole to a door. If I put this in your door at your house, let's get more personal. Let's get more personal. If I came to your house, boys, and I put this peephole in your door that you could not see, only I knew it was there, but I put it in your door that I could see in, but you couldn't see out, what would I see? Girls, if I put this in your door where I can look in your room and you not know it, what would you sitting here on this church pew today, and if I was at your house and your door was closed and I had this where I could see in your room, what would I see? How many of you tonight would want me to go to your house and look and go to your room and find what's in your room? Let's don't just stop with the young people. Hey, my friend back here, what would I find in your house tonight? If you knew I was coming to your house, how much time would I have to give you to get it presentable? I'm not talking about it looking like you live there. Praise God, I hope you do. But I'm talking about those things that you don't want me to see. What would I find? Is it hindering you of being all that you could be for the glory of God? Pastor's been telling me some good things that a lot of you go sowing, and thank God. But I'm talking to you that don't go. I'm talking to you that's hanging on to what those are doing. And you reaping the benefit. Preacher, let's go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further. I want my drill. Let's see. Come here, young man. Okay, come here, young man. Sit down right there. Now what I want to do, I want to get that drill and perform a surgery. Which one of them needs it most, preacher? But I want to perform a surgery. I'm going to lay you back. That's not cigarettes, is it? Okay, okay.
I left those in the car.
But I want to drill a hole right here by your heart. And I want to put this peephole, I want to embed it right there in your heart. What would I see? What would I see? In your heart, what would I see? What would I see back here in your heart? Okay, girls, you said I got it made. Come here, young lady. Sit down right there. Now we've done the heart, but I want to perform another surgery. I want to put it right here. Drill that hole right there. And then I want to embed. She would look pretty good going through that like that, wouldn't she? What would I see? What that you've been thinking? Even since you've been to church. Huh? What would you been thinking? Okay, preacher's wife. Right here. Now I realize why he didn't answer the phone today, and I forgave him. But if I performed a surgery, he'd been gone how many days? Nine days. Don't answer me out loud. But what have you been doing? What have you been doing? Well, let's see. That's right here. See what's in the brain. See what's she's been thinking. Hallelujah. I'm glad the preacher's gone this week. I can get... No, I don't think so. But I'm preaching. You listen to me. But I want to see how much she has been praying for the church. Being the first lady. I want to see how much she's been praying for her husband, the overseer of this congregation. If she does right, she lives right, which she ought to, being the first lady. As long as she dresses right, lives right, prays right. Hey, these ladies here, if she's doing right, if you're more spiritual than her, something wrong. Because she's supposed to be the leader of the ladies. Okay, preacher. Over here. Let's do it in the heart. What would I see? Oh my, I see. He may have been gone 9 days, but he called your name. Let's see what else. Oh my, I found out he could have been sleeping more. But God woke him up with you on his mind. Oh, my. How many of you woke up with somebody on your mind this week and you shrugged it off and rolled back over and went to sleep? I don't do that. I have too many preachers. I'm helping struggling churches. They're about to close across America. Y'all can go sit down. And pastors like yours, he hadn't told me nothing. But I go across America and pastors carrying a heavy, heavy load. And nobody to unload on. But that pastor, I sit down with him. And I just sit and listen. And then I pray for that preacher as I'm on the road. I don't want to remember everything that these preachers tell me. And I ask God to help me to forget a lot of it. But I do know how to pray for them. Ladies in the church, are all of you church members? Do me a favor. Do me a favor. Y'all get together without the preacher's wife around. Preacher said, oh no. But y'all get together and fix you up a calendar. And decide once service, you personally want to do something for her. And don't let a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting night go by that something's not done for her. Preacher gets to tell her a little bit of what's bothering him, but he don't get to unload on her. But if we can keep the first lady content. He's in the limelight. She's behind him over here. But he's what he is because of her. And we need to let our ladies, our pastor's wives, know. Well, she knows it. But we need to show it how much we appreciate her. It don't have to be much. A card. Sometimes we can give her a gift card. Just something special for just her. What would this church be? I'm thankful for how many you've got here, preacher. Especially on a Wednesday night. Y'all may have brought that stuff up to raise that pulpit if you knew what I was saying tonight. I'm thankful. I am thankful for how God, I'm amazed at how God has used me. I give Him all the glory. I give Him all the praise. I give Him all the honor. Tomorrow, I'm going to be visiting at least two people. If you know somebody, and I'm not getting anywhere that I meant to. If you know somebody that's about to quit church, if God doesn't do something for them, they're out of here. Or their hometown, the church they're in, if God don't do something for them, they're out. It's not just the ones that are lost that I want to go see. I want to go see that one that's discouraged. I want to be able to help them. You know, God has called me to go across America, taking Jesus across America, amen, and going from church to church and holding up the hand of the man of God. We need some godly ladies. I mean godly ladies to get over here and hold up the hand of that pastor's wife. Amen. We need some Sunday school teachers. If you study and study and study and you know God and you're teaching your class, ladies, that's the one that needs to be holding her hands up. Men, you study and study and study and prepare to try to win Christ and influence those young people. Get as close to God as you can get. That's who needs to be holding His hand. I tell you how close, preacher, I tell you how close to God I want to be. This is about as close to you as I can get right now. But I want to get closer to that than to God. I did that at a church the other Sunday morning, and the Sunday school teacher called while the preacher took me out to eat. Said, "I'm not coming back tonight." He said, "Why?" He said, "The preacher stepped on my toes." I said, "Give me that phone." I said, Brother, I apologize. I am so sorry that I stepped on your toes. God forgive me for stepping on your toes. I said, because that wasn't where I was aiming. I was aiming for the heart. I said, "Do me a favor and give me one more chance and come back." Of course, he was a kid. "And come back tonight. So if I stepped on your toes, I apologize, because that's not where I'm aiming." Amen. Young lady, I want to ask you a question. Don't shake your head, but tell Jesus, are you as close as you could be? What about you, ma'am? Are you as close to God as you could be? The 24 hours is running out. What about you? Are you as close to God? Could you stand to get a little closer? Ma'am, what about you? What about you? How close to God are you? Don't you worry about a boyfriend. Don't you worry about a husband. You know what, girls? Before you was conceived, God had you of helpmate picked out. And boys, the easiest way to run your life is trying to pick it out yourself. But if you stay on this front row, promise me, men, promise me that y'all won't sit back here. Amen. Promise me this tonight. Promise God tonight, from this point on, that you'll come automatically come and fill these front rows up. Promise me that when next time I come, I'll have to be the one sitting in the back. If these pews are full and I can't get on them, preacher, it won't bother me a bit. Because what I'll do, this is what I'll do. I'll bring my Bible and I'll bring my harps and I'll just sit on the altar. Because I don't want nothing between me and the altar. But I don't want to put you back here either. Therefore, girls, promise me, promise God tonight that this is where you're going to be sitting from now on, every time the doors are open. Are you where you need to be with God? Young people, are you, girls, are y'all where you need to be with God? Can you go to bed tonight and sleep like a baby because you're just as close to God as you need to be? If not, get in the altar and get there. Right now, get in the altar and get where you need to be with God. Men, boys, are y'all where you, are you happy? Are you content? Are you where you need to be with God? Are you as close to God as you could ever be? You can't possibly get any closer. If not, that's the place for you over here. Ma'am, come to the piano. Folks, where are y'all with God tonight? Where are you with God? Men, are y'all tonight where you need to be with God that your family can get in? Are you close enough to God back here that they, preacher, I'm satisfied where I am. I'm satisfied. There's no way I could possibly get any closer to Jesus. I'm right where I need to be. If not, the altar's open. Just make your way right now. Who'll be first? Young people, who will be first? That altar ought to be full tonight. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. You as that are spiritual, that are supposed to be spiritual, need to have a vision for Emmanuel Baptist Church. What about it, folks? What about it? Why don't you go put your all on the altar tonight? Don't let nobody, don't let nothing hold you back from getting where you need to be with God. Is there room in your home for Jesus tonight? What about it? No singing, just playing. Everybody standing. Christians praying. If you're where you need to be with God, if you aren't where you need to be with God, get a hold of God for these other people. But if you're not where you need to be with God tonight, don't let nothing get, let go of that pew and make your way to the altar. I didn't preach what I meant to, but God led me differently. Because of you being here tonight, He let me be here tonight and preach this tonight because of who you work with. What you said today at work, what your actions today, that work, the person you work with, do they would they be able to call on the Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around but me and God. I want to ask you a question. Preacher, I'm where I need to be with God. There's no way that I could get any closer to God. Is there anybody here tonight that will raise a hand and testify that you're right where you need to be with God? I'm looking. I see no hands. But you're holding on that pew and not moving. 23 hours, 22 hours, it's going quickly, 21 hours, 20, future, I'm not going to move. Let my family go to hell. I'm not moving. It's between you and God. I poured my heart out tonight. Some of you weeping, you need to be in the altar tonight to testify how close to God you want to be. Play one more verse, ma'am. At the end of this next verse, if nobody comes, my part's over. My part's over. Say, preacher, I don't care. I don't care. Ma'am, how is it with you and God? What's holding you back? Sir, what's holding you back from being where you need to be with God? Maybe you've never been with Him to begin with. I don't doubt there's somebody here tonight that's lost. What you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? Can your friends, can your family, can your acquaintances see Jesus in you? Preacher, thank you. Been a joy to be here. Carry on if you need to. Feel like you need to. My part's done. My part's done.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been challenged tonight. Many of you have hit the altar. Many of you, no doubt, said it's standing there in your pews. You have people that are on your heart, and you've been praying for them during the whole invitation. I've said many, many times I still believe that our greatest days of Emmanuel lie ahead of us. I said early on in the beginning of the year that God, I pray that God would use us to reach some of the hard cases. And you know, as I prayed that, and I think about that even tonight, many of you that may have family in other states or wherever, you've heard Brother Tim's burden. He's a man of prayer, and we believe in prayer here at Emmanuel. I encourage you seriously to get a card and fill it out. Put their name on it. Put their information down on it. If you're unable to know their address offhand, if you'll get it, I promise you we'll get it to Brother Tim, and he'll go visit them. I know he will. And he said, as you heard in his message, you know, sometimes family can be difficult to reach because many, like he said of himself, they don't, many times don't accept him. Yeah, they accept him, but they don't understand it. And so he's praying that some would go to his family as well. So thanks for coming tonight, Brother Tim. Great message, great challenge. And nice to meet you, buddy, for the first time. And we appreciate your testimony. But we will be dismissed in prayer if there's no other announcements. Any other announcements? Brian, you have anything to add, buddy?
Hey, for softball, we have a softball game Friday,
all right,
7:40 p.m. And our announcements have been down this past week. So refer to your bulletin for any other announcements.
Got to do it the old-fashioned way, all right? The old-fashioned way. So make sure you check your bulletins, or you can stop by the information desk, the Welcome Center. And Brother Tim, go ahead and make your way to the back. I want our people to come by and love on you. And appreciate him being here. Are you glad he come tonight? Amen. We're thankful and honored to have him with us. And all right, let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Tom Noel dismisses in prayer, my brother.